So good morning.
Good morning.
I hope you had a reasonable rest last night. The weather seems to be improving, so I wanted to do a slight change to the programme. Walking meditation is extremely beneficial, extremely beneficial. There are different types of walking meditations, and I'm sure many of you here are used to doing walking meditations or have listened to a few explanations of myself. I would like, at lunchtime, I'm saying from 3:30 to 4, I'd like you to do a walking meditation for that half hour. Having said that, weather changes a lot. So can we say this? Between after karma yoga and 4 o'clock, choose a half an hour. Choose a half an hour. If the sun is shining and really good at, I don't know, 3, then do it at, you know, or 2, do it at 2. Okay, for half an hour. I'm saying that because you can imagine everything's beautiful and it starts raining the minute you want to do walking meditation. So really what I'm saying is I'm adding a half an hour on to your break at lunchtime. But half an hour of that, walking meditation. Please do the walking meditation that you find useful and beneficial to you. If you are not used to walking meditation or you have never done walking meditation, see me at the break, this break coming, and I'll talk you through a simple walking meditation. Now, you know there's a difference between a walking meditation and meditation while walking. Yes? There is a difference. Okay. Thank you very much. So if we can settle ourselves down, checking the posture. When we say checking the posture, you can do this in seconds or minutes once you're used to it. But if you're not used to it, really spend time checking the different points. So drawing the mind inward, allowing your consciousness to sink down through the body, and as it slowly sinks down through the body, on the out-breath, release and deeply relax. Being fully aware of where your body touches the earth and where one part of your body is touching another part. Allow that awareness to grow. And now on the in-breath, allow awareness to emerge and flood your whole body on the in-breath. And as this awareness emerges and floods your body, just enjoy the sensation on the in-breath. Scanning the body, releasing any tension on the out-breath. Pay special attention to the face and the brow, and on the out-breath, deeply relax and release. Avoiding any movement now, note the tactile sensations of the feet. And notice the tactile sensations now all the way through the body, from the feet to the crown. In your own time, you'll take a breath deep into your belly and then fill it up from the belly to the chest. And as you breathe out, you deeply relax and release. In your own time, you take three breaths, and with each breath, you breathe through your nostrils, letting awareness permeate your entire body, noting any sensations related to the respirations, and breathe out. And you do this three times. Allow your respirations now to flow naturally. Don't impose any rhythm. Don't exercise any preference or influence. Just natural rhythm. And now, as you're breathing as your body wishes to breathe, note any sensations in the body, wherever it is, that seems to be related to the breath. Just note it. In that noting, you're noting the beginning, the middle, the end, and the pauses of each in-breath and out-breath sensations. Noting also if your respirations are long or short, deep or shallow, slow or fast. Simply note. As if your body is fast asleep and your mind highly vigilant. Dealing with any difficulties, thoughts, ideas, emotions. Just relaxing and releasing on the out-breath. Making no effort to breathe in, just allowing the breath to flow in like a tide. Now, without losing this feeling of relaxation, focus now on the sensation, the movement of the abdomen with the breath. The expanding, the contracting. Noting the full sensation, beginning, middle, end, pause. Never a moment when you're not focused. If counting helps, do so. If your mind is distracted, or agitated. Just relax deeply on the out-breath and refocus. If your mind is dull or tired, arouse your attention on the in-breath, then refocus. And now, to allow vividness to take hold, raise your focus of concentration to your chosen object. For us, this is now the sensation of the breath at the nostrils or the upper lip. See if you can feel the difference when you raise your consciousness from the abdomen to the upper lip, to the nostrils. See if the mind feels lighter, a bit brighter, a bit vivid. And your focus for the full sensation of the breath. Beginning, middle, end, pauses. If you lose the feeling of the sensation, or it's difficult in some way, just quieten the mind by relaxing and releasing on the out-breath, and observe more closely. Employ counting if it helps. And now generate a very strong, positive motivation for today. Bring it to mind. Then change your focus to the motivation. Try to hold it with your mind gently. Thank you. Then we do the prayers on page 34. Sange chudam soke chunam la janchu bardu dagni kyasuchi dagi jin soke pe sonanki Drola penchir sange drupashu Sange chudam soke chunam la Janchu badu dahni kyapsuchi Dahi jin soke pe sonanki Drola penchir sange drupashu I go for refuge until I am enlightened. To the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Reverently, I prostrate with my body, speech, and mind. I present clouds of every type of offerings, actual and imagined. I declare all my negative actions accumulated since beginningless time. And rejoice in the merit of all holy and ordinary beings. Please remain until the end of psychic existence and turn the wheel of Dharma for living beings. I dedicate my own merits and those of all others to the great enlightenment. So, the next little while we'll be looking at the next step on the Lam Rim. I mean, every part of the Lam Rim is important. I mean, everyone. You can't really say one is more important. However, having said that, impermanence. Getting a handle on impermanence, what it actually means, creates everything that you do. Impermanence, if you have a handle on it, almost starts the process of you using Dharma eyes, Dharma senses, as opposed to ordinary eyes, ordinary senses. It almost kick-starts this. It underpins everything, absolutely everything, impermanence. Now in the Dharma, we use words like permanence and impermanence, love, compassion, emptiness, renunciation. And we have to consider these words carefully because they don't mean the same in the Dharma as they do in our ordinary conversations. There are different connotations here. And if we don't grasp that fairly early on in our practice, then we get very confused. We get very confused. So even though there are definitions of love and compassion and emptiness and renunciation and impermanence, those definitions in a Dharma context, they don't hold up. This language code is quite specific. So it's good to come to terms with that. So what I'd like you just to think now is when you, and from an ordinary mind point of view, if you were to explain to someone what permanence means and what impermanence means, right? From just not a dharmic point of view, just an ordinary point of view. What concepts would you use? What would you say to this person? What type of definitions? The person said to you, well, what do you mean by impermanent? What does that mean? From an ordinary mind, what would you say? And from when they say, what about permanence then? What does that mean? From an ordinary point of view, what would you say? So just think, take a few minutes, think, jot some stuff down. Also consider, is there a prejudice that comes with the word permanence? Is there a prejudice that comes with the word impermanence? What type of feelings come with the word, ordinary word, permanence? How do you feel about that? What comes with the feeling of saying impermanent from an ordinary point of view? So what type of words do we use when we say what is permanent? What do we tend to say from an ordinary point of view?
Always existing.
Say again?
Always existing.
Always existing. If something is permanent, you think always existing. It seems reasonable, doesn't it? That's what permanence means, what you're talking about, right? Okay, good. Anything else about permanence?
I put fixed.
No. Fixed. Absolutely fixed.
Never changing.
Seems reasonable.
Never changing.
Never changing. Never changing. It's there. It's a permanent thing, yes? What about impermanence? What words would you use for that?
Always changing.
From a Dharma point of view, yes. If you were explaining to someone else, would you say that?
Changing.
Changing, okay.
I've got two or three words. Got unstable.
Unstable, yes.
Moving, shifting.
Shifting, good. Fluid. Good, that seems reasonable, doesn't it? I mean, from an ordinary, you know, it's a type of anything else? Impermanent?
Disappears. Or
disappears, gone.
Does not last.
Nope. Nope. Anything else?
Put ephemeral down.
Ephemeral, yes. Wow. Yes, yes. Yes. Anything else? Okay. What type of feelings come with the word permanent? When someone says, this is permanent.
Fixed.
Fixed, but the feeling.
That's what feels.
It feels fixed. Okay, okay, good.
Solid, reliable.
Solid, reliable, yes.
We've got security and trust.
Security, trust, I want some of that. Don't give me that impermanent stuff. I want something that's permanent. Don't give me. Yes, yes. We have trust in it, faith in it. That's, you know, that's permanent. I always say to people that in where I come from, in our family, the worst thing someone can say to you is, you've changed. You know, it's the worst insult you can give anyone in my family. So the idea of permanence. Any other feeling that comes with permanence?
It's quite restricted.
Say again, dear?
Restrictive.
You feel restrictive?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's closed.
Okay.
It's got a sense of, because it's solid, then it's limited, and it's...
just is.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Not open to change, because it's permanent.
Wee bit of Dharma creeping in here, eh? All right. So what about the word impermanence? When somebody says to you, so that's kind of impermanent, that. What type of feeling arises?
Temporary.
Yeah, temporary.
Anxious.
Anxious.
Unsure.
Yes. Unsure, yes.
Unreliable.
Unreliable, yes. That's it. Yeah. So this is what we're dealing with here. This is what we use initially when we look at the Buddha Dharma in terms of permanent and impermanent. But this, now we're going to change that. So the definition of impermanence, or there's actually many definitions, but this one is straightforward. That which is momentary. That which is momentary. This is Dharmakirti's definition. There's quite a few, but that which is momentary. Now, again, from a Dharma point of view, they're talking about momentary in time and momentary in the physical continuum. So, in a straightforward way, you could look at three levels of impermanence. You can look at impermanence of the physical continuum. You can look at impermanence in the way that one moment of existence does not abide in the same way as the second moment of existence. Moment to moment. Okay? Impermanence. That which is momentary. Momentary in the physical continuum, but momentary in that one moment of existence is not the same without changing to the second moment of existence. And the third level of looking at it is, okay, one moment to the next moment without change, no. But from the very beginning of the first moment of existence to the end of that first moment of existence, there's no stasis, still change. So moment to moment, it does not abide the same way, there is change. From the beginning of the first moment to the end of the first moment, there's no space that is not changing, none. So here we have this package, impermanence, that which is momentary. What do we mean? Momentary in physical continuum, momentary in time. What do you mean momentary in time? Well, one moment to the next moment does not abide without changing. But more than that, the beginning of that first moment to the end of that first moment, there's no space where there is no change. That is impermanence. Okay. I'd like you now, just thinking like that, I'd like you to think of a building that you know really well. You really know it. You know its shape, its design, its function. You know it really well. Just bring that to mind. Focus on it. So thinking about a building that you know really well, its design, its function, everything. Now imagine that building collapses to rubble. We identify that as impermanent. What we don't see is the momentary by momentary change within that building. We don't see its fragility and we don't see its vulnerability. By its very nature, it is impermanent. We see impermanence, the end of a physical continuum, mostly when something occurs that causes that building to collapse. You think of the Twin Towers. Mm-hmm. We say to ourselves, the Twin Towers collapsed because the planes flew into it, right? Something external happened. That's clear, we see that. The impermanence that's going to help us on the path is not that. It is the impermanence that knowing that by its very nature, the building is fragile and it's vulnerable. Why? Because it is impermanent, moment by moment. From the beginning of the first moment to the end of the first moment, does not abide in the same way. Does not. Everything that comes into being through causes and conditions, ourselves, this room, most of the world really, right? Everything that comes into being through causes and conditions exists in this way. Vulnerable, fragile, not just changing moment to moment, but changing from the beginning of the first moment to the end of the first moment. This is impermanence. There is constant movement. Nothing is static. Nothing is static. But we don't tend to see it like that. If we think quite deeply about it and we look at this building again, there seems to be something in that building that's permanent. It just seems to be something in there. And even if we know it's crumbling slowly, even if intellectually we know, there seems to be some space where that building is for a brief time perhaps that is perfect, straight, permanent. And we see all conditioned things like this. All conditioned things. When we have a brand new item that we bought, you know, even if intellectually we know this is crumbling as I look at it, we don't think like that, but even if we did, still, right now, as I peel the cellophane off, there's something permanent about that.
Is that the emotion we're attaching to it?
Yes.
It's like, yeah.
It leads to that.
Where I live. There's the emotion that it's, you know,
it leads to that.
Security in my home, so.
Yes. Yes. False security. But it's all based on the premise of not seeing the nature. Mm-hmm. Not seeing its nature. That's the problem. We see external conditioned things either as permanent, like my, you know, big things like my home, my job, my relationships, the body. You know, my children, whatever. Grossly, we see them as permanent. A little more subtly, you can kind of see things are changing, but there's something there that seems to be permanent. At least for a period of time. At least for a period of time. Now remember what permanence means. Impermanence means changing moment for moment. So we're in superimposing upon all conditioned phenomena, everything we see, everything we hear, everything we taste and touch, everything we interact with, as having some form of permanence. But conditioned things, there's not a moment that isn't continuously changing. And if we can start to see that, very helpful. Very helpful. Because you can see why, can't you? If something is continuously changing and you get the feeling of that, you can see it, it's clear. It's very hard. If you think like that, it's quite hard for attachment to grow. I mean, it will grow because we've got the habit of attachment. It's very strong. It's one of the big poisons, so it can grow. But it makes it less kind of real. It's like, this is foolish. This is foolish. And of course, if you don't have the attachment, then you don't have the disturbing emotions that come with the attachment. And if you don't have disturbing emotions that come with attachment, then you don't act with your body, speech and mind in negative ways. It makes no sense. And if you don't act with your body in negative ways, your body, speech and mind, then you don't create negative karma. And if you don't create negative karma, you don't suffer the results. So let's do some meditation. This is just a few points. Just a few points. Impermanence and emptiness are topics that are very good to be studied together. When you study them in depth, there's a whole epistemological coding that goes with it from a philosophical basis with its own language code. Mostly we approach these topics initially from a psychological point of view, because we can then deal with it, because we're interacting with people, things and events. So it can become quite complicated. But here and now, understand what impermanence is from a Buddhist point of view. Understand what permanence is from a Buddhist point of view, but mostly impermanence at the moment. This ordinary feeling of impermanence, of it ends. This is not what impermanence means. It means everything is constantly changing. It will cease to exist, but it's constantly changing. It doesn't require external things to happen to a conditioned phenomena. Yourself, the floor, this building. It doesn't need something to come from the outside and do it. By its very nature, nothing will exist from moment to moment without change. There's no room for stasis, doesn't exist. So let's see if we can do a wee meditation, see how that goes. So settling the body. Using the two-breath method, if that's helpful, to draw the mind inward and deeply relax your body on the out-breath. Begin to mentally examine all the parts of your body. Move your consciousness around. Or if you want, just expand your consciousness, being aware of the different parts of the body. Probe its texture, its shape, size, temperature, density. The fluidity of the body, all the movement. From the crown of your head to the tips of your toes. All the organs, the structures, the temperature, shape, just become aware of it. And go more deeply to the cellular level, all the movements of the cell. Them dividing and subdividing, reproducing, dying off, disintegrating. Always in motion. Try to immerse yourself in this constant fluctuation in the body. Constant. Try to be one with that. Expand your awareness now to this room, the people in it, the furniture. All seem to be solid and static. Yet you know there are masses of tiny particles just whizzing around, gathering, dispersing, expanding and contracting, always in motion, always fluctuating. Try to stay with that fluctuation, that motion. And gently expand your observation now, your awareness, to the whole of the land of joy. The buildings, the people. Everything in motion, everything contracting. And expand as far as you can, to include the whole of England, the world. Gently look. There is nothing static here. All constantly changing. Nothing remains the same moment to moment, however it appears. Try to concentrate on this experience. Can you conclude that it's not realistic now to cling to objects and people as if they were permanent and unchanging? And that any sense of pleasure that comes will also change. And if you can't come to a conclusion like that, focus. And remembering now the definition of impermanence, ask yourself the question, all right, the body may be impermanent, but my mind. Is my mind permanent or impermanent? Remembering the definition. That which is momentary. And so we examine the mind. My mind is full of countless thoughts and emotions, a constantly changing, ever-flowing mental experience. Crowded with concepts of happy, unhappy, love, anger, memories, ideas, old judgments, past conversations, crowd my mind, constantly changing. We have no problem with intellectual understanding, but real acceptance can be quite difficult. And herein lies the problem. Intellectual understanding does not seem to inform our everyday behaviour. We cling and grasp without choice really at permanence. And without even questioning, we think that is how things are. That is how they are. That is how I am. We're born with this. But we can check if this is true. Mentally fill in the gaps after I say these words. I am. What do you think when you say I am? What would you say? Nice person, ordinary person, intellectual. How would you fill that gap? I am. How about I always? I never. I like. I dislike. I believe. With the answers you gave yourself, is there any sense of flow? Or more a sense of solidity? A sense of permanence, static. The hallucination of imposing permanence on that which is impermanent brings about suffering and suffocation. The reality of impermanence can bring space, freedom, choice. Is that true? Reflect. due to impermanence, we have the power to change, develop, and transform our mind and lives. Because of impermanence, consider that. If conditioned things, situations, if they were permanent, as they seem to appear, you could not transform them. You could not develop. How could you? If things were as they appear, permanent. And reflecting on these main points, try to give rise to a strong determination to become familiar with the transient nature of all conditioned things. Not only to accept the constant flux as reality, but to expect it. Try to make that determination as strong as you can. And when it's as strong as you can make it, focus. If your focus begins to wane, use your analytical mind, bring the major points to bear again, and when the determination arises, focus again. So this is a very active process here. Can I accept and expect the ever-changing fluctuation? Make it strong. Focus. Make a special effort for the last 3 minutes to generate that strong determination and focus. Thank you. Please take 20 minutes for your break. Enjoy a little bit of the sunshine. And I'll see you back here at 25 to. Thank you.